Tammy just mentioned to me that God has a way of putting things together, doesn't he? What did Wendy just talk about when she was up here leading the singing? Talked about names, didn't she? We just sang, blessed be the name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And, you know, I guess there's another line in that that song that we sang, and we sang it through twice. The line that's maybe a little more difficult at times, it says, you give and take away, you give and take away. We like it when God gives. We don't always like it when things are taken away, do we? But the next line says, my heart will choose to say, Lord, blessed be your name. It is a choice we make whether to praise God or not. It is a choice we make to put our faith and trust in him. It is a choice. And I hope and I pray that that we make that choice to put our trust and faith in none other than Jesus Christ. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, we are still in the book of Philippians. So I encourage you to turn there and to follow along. We've been kind of working our way through the book of Philippians. And, you know, all God's word is good. It's all useful. It's all for our benefit. It all helps us grow. Philippians is one of those books that has a great deal of encouragement in it and a great deal of truth for our lives. And as Paul was writing, and again, just some reminders, if you haven't been here the last few weeks, Paul was writing this letter to the church in Philippi, and Paul was writing it from where? The comfort of his living room? Where was he writing it from? Jail. He was in prison at the time. Not a place that he probably would have wanted to be. None of us say, oh, I hope I go to jail. None of us do that. I'm sure there are places Paul wished that he would rather be, but he was writing this from prison. You know, we just talked about you give and take away. God allowed his freedom to be taken away, didn't he? But you know what Paul still chose to do? To praise God, to give glory to God, to still work for God even though he was in prison. And he wrote this letter as he was in prison, not complaining about his circumstances, but encouraging others. And as we got into the first chapter of Philippians, it kind of gave us the overall message of the book. And that message, just as a reminder, is that God is still working on us. It doesn't matter whether you've been a Christian for a week, whether you've been a Christian for 90 years, God's not done working on you. We all have areas that we can grow, ways that we can become more and more like Jesus Christ. And that's really the theme of this whole book. And then in chapter 2, it reminded us that one of the ways God is working on us is to mold us so that we have the mind of Christ. Not our own mind, not our own thoughts, not our own opinions, but that our opinions, our thoughts, the way we think, reflect Jesus Christ. That's how God wants to mold us, so that we begin to think with a spiritual mind, to have that same heart and mind that Christ had when he was here. That's our goal. The third chapter then gave us a warning that the world tries to kind of encourage us in the other direction. Instead of having the mind of Christ and thinking like Christ did, thinking about others, the world encourages us to think about who? Ourselves. It's all about us being happy, doing what makes us happy, making our decisions, and that's not what our lives are about as Christians. Jesus made it very clear when he was here. He said, I am here to do the will of who? My Father. Not my own will, but the will of my Father. If we're supposed to have the mind of Christ, whose will should we be concerned about above all? The will of our Father. To do God's will, that is our purpose. But the world kind of teaches us and draws us away from that. So now as we get into chapter 4, Paul is continuing to write. And if you're in Philippians chapter 4, I'm going to ask if you'd stand as we read, if you're able, as we read God's word together. Philippians chapter 4, beginning in the first verse. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Euodias and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat you also, true yoke fellow, help these women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with my other fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life, rejoicing in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace which and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. Let's pray together. Lord God, as we come together as family in your house this morning, remind us, Lord, that's exactly what we are. We are our family. We are brothers and sisters in your name. And Lord, I just pray that as we look at your word this morning, that you would give us understanding, that your Holy Spirit would just work in our hearts and in our lives and just teach us. Open it up to us, Lord, and just help our hearts and minds to be receptive to it. Lord, it's all about choice. You give us the ability to choose, and this morning we will make a choice whether to hear your word and whether to allow it to affect our lives or whether to shut it out, whether to become hardened to it. Even now, Lord, we're beginning to make that choice. And I pray, Lord, that each one that's in here, that we would choose to let our hearts be soft, to have a desire for you to just change our lives, to help us to have that mind of Christ, to shape us and to mold us. Lord, help us to choose that on this day. And it's in the name of Jesus Christ that we pray. Amen. You can be seated this morning. As Paul begins this, what we know as the final chapter in Philippians, he's getting towards the end of his letter. So again, he's continuing to give them some encouragement. And if you look in this first verse, he talks about that he loves them. They're his dearly beloved and he longs for. They're his joy and crown. And then what does he tell them to do? So stand fast. Isn't that what it says? So stand fast in the Lord. Does it say stand fast in yourself? Is that what it says? What does it mean to stand fast? Don't give up. What else? What does it mean, stand fast? What's that? Firm. Stand firm. Be sure. Be anchored. You know, stand fast means you're in a spot and you're not going to be moved. Isn't that what it means? Right? Stand fast. Be firm. Don't be moved. That is what God wants of us. That's what Paul was saying. Stand fast. Before you stand fast, though, you need to make sure you're in the right spot, don't you? Before you stand fast, you're not going to stand fast in the middle of traffic, right? That would not be the right place to stand fast. You want to stand fast in the right place. So first of all, we need to make sure that we are where we need to be in the Lord. That's why he says, stand fast what? Does he end it there? He says, stand fast in the Lord. Make sure you are in the Lord, that your heart and life and mind are where God wants them to be, that you are trusting in him and not trusting in yourself. And when you get to that place, he's saying, stay there. Don't let the world push you out of that. Because the world is going to say, no, trust in yourself. And God is saying, no, trust in me. Stand fast in the Lord, not in yourself. And again, this is after the warnings he gave us in chapter 3 that talked about, you know, the world tries to tell you to have confidence in yourself. He's saying, no, stand fast in the Lord. That means when troubles come, and do troubles come? How many of you have had a trouble or a trial in your life at one point or another? Raise your hand and keep it up for a minute. Keep your hand up. Look around for a minute. You're allowed to look around. It's fine. What do you see? Do you see a lot of hands raised? We're all in the same boat, aren't we? Now, the troubles we face, the trials we face, they come in a lot of different forms. What you face may be different than what I face, what the person next to you faces, but we all have troubles and trials, whatever form they may come in. And he's telling us, even in the midst of those troubles and trials, to stand fast. In the day and time that this was written, there was a lot of persecution of the early Christian church. And he was saying, in the midst of persecution, what are you supposed to do? stand fast in the Lord. Paul himself was in prison, and what did he need to do? Stand fast in the Lord. But not just in times of trouble and trials. We are also supposed to stand fast in the Lord when things are good. Is there ever a danger of getting away from the Lord when things are good? Why does that happen? Why does that happen? What's that? We think we know better. Everything's good. We may have pride. We may think, you know, I've got my life all together. I don't need anything. There's also a danger in times of plenty to get away from God. But he's saying stand fast in the Lord. No matter whether you're in troubles, trials, or whether your life is going good, make sure you're standing fast in the Lord. Because no matter what, there's always temptations around us. Even in Paul's life and in the life of the early church, life wasn't always perfect. And that's our lives. They're not always perfect, are they? And that includes the church. Is this church perfect? Everybody say no. I think this church is wonderful, but it's not perfect. Do you know why it's not perfect? Because you're here. And because I'm here. It's not perfect because we're people. We at times fail. We at times do things we shouldn't do or don't do the things we should do. Even in the early church here, it was the same thing because look at this next verse that he talks about. In verse 2, I beseech Euodias, and it's pronounced Syntyche. I know it doesn't look like that, but that's how it's actually pronounced. I know we've had a lot of babies born in the church. I haven't heard these names used yet, Euodias or Syntyche. I'm not sure why. But he says, I beseech Euodias and Syntyche that they be of the same mind, and again, that same phrase, in the Lord. Why do you think beseech means I'm really asking this of you, that you would be of the same mind? Why do you think he had to say that about Euodias and Syntyche? Because they were doing real well and they were best of friends at the time? Why do you think he had to say this? I could pick out any two people as just examples. I'll pick out Tammy and April here in the front. If I said, all right, I really want Tammy and April to be of the same mind, why would you think I would say that? Would I say it if they were already of the same mind? Yeah, you pretty much are. I know that. This is an example. I would say that if they weren't of the same mind. That's the only reason I would highlight it. He was naming some names here, wasn't he? I mean, he singled out two people. And he said, I'm praying that you would be of the same mind, because for some reason they weren't. They had some different thoughts or ideas on something. They had a disagreement about something. It doesn't say what it is, does it? And it doesn't matter. We can have disagreements over anything, can't we? Can't we? Are they always big things and big issues? Think of any relationship you have. I think of my relationship with Tammy, with my wife. We have argued once in a while over the last 34. I'm all right. We have had a few arguments over the last 33 and almost 34 years, once in a while. Do you think those arguments were all over really big issues? Or do you think sometimes those arguments or disagreements were over just stupid little things that make no difference whatsoever? What do you think? What's your guess? Yeah, we can have disagreements and arguments over just the stupidest little things. And if you really stop in the middle of it and you're like, what are we really arguing about? Is this really worth the time? We don't know what their disagreement was over, whether it's a big thing or a little thing, but it doesn't matter. He's saying, I want you to be of the same mind. Again, he doesn't end it there. Those same three words again. Same mind in the Lord. Because if Euodias was having the mind of Christ and Syntyche had the mind of Christ, what do you think would happen with that trouble that they were having between the two of them? Do you think they'd be able to work it out? Yeah. So he's saying, have the mind of Christ and it will overcome whatever difficulty that is. And these were good ladies. These were good women. Look at what it says in verse 3. I entreat you also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel. These were women that worked with him to share the gospel. Sounds like some good ladies, some good women. But we can still fall short at times, can't we? And they did. And Paul was just saying, have this same mind, the mind of Christ. And then look down in verse 4. And I hope you're starting to see a theme. Because he says, rejoice. What's the next three words? Same three words we've seen twice already in this chapter. Rejoice in the Lord. Here's the key, folks. Whatever we are, whatever we do, we are to do it in the Lord. He talked about standing fast in the Lord, be of the same mind in the Lord, and then he's saying, rejoice in the Lord. And he meant this rejoice thing. Because he said it twice, didn't he? Rejoice in the Lord. And again, I say, rejoice. If I tell you something twice, what does that really mean? What does it really mean? It's important. I want you to remember it. And he's saying, rejoice in the Lord. And again, I say, two times, rejoice. So what is this phrase, in the Lord, what does that really mean? If we're to stand fast in the Lord, if we're to have the same mind in the Lord, if we're to rejoice in the Lord, what does that really mean to be in the Lord? How do we know if we're in the Lord? Oh, it's quiet now. What does that mean, in the Lord? To be in the Lord. Folks, it means to be in His presence, doesn't it? Doesn't it? So how can we be in the presence of the Lord in our lives? Are we in the presence of the Lord right now? Yes. What does the Bible say? Where two or three are gathered, what? I am in their presence. To be in the Lord means to be in His presence. And folks, we can come into the presence of the Lord wherever we're at, can't we? Can you be in the presence of the Lord when you're in your car? Can you be in the presence of the Lord when you're at your job? Can you be in the presence of the Lord when you're at home? Can you be in the presence of the Lord when you're outdoors? Yeah. It's again what Wendy was talking about. It's part of that is recognizing the Lord in our lives, understanding the times that He's working, the times that He's speaking to us, just acknowledging God's presence in our lives. Again, Tammy and I spend a lot of time together. If I just ignored her every time when she was right next to me, that would be a little tiring for her. How often do you think God is right there beside us? His presence is right there, but how often do we just ignore Him? And don't take note of the fact that we are in the presence of the Lord. So being in the Lord means being in His presence. It also means being in His will, doing what God wants us to do. We talked about that earlier. That's what Christ did. When he was here to do the will of His Father. Is that why we're here? Everybody go like this. If you're a believer, that's why you're here. I know I've had, you hear these big questions. What is the meaning of life? Why am I really here? For a Christian, you shouldn't have to ask that question because the Bible's already given you the answer. You are here because you were created to serve God. That is your purpose as a believer. If you've accepted Jesus Christ, that becomes your purpose, to serve Him. Not to serve yourself, we've talked about that, but to serve God. So being in His presence means being in His will. It means being in His presence, being in His will, and being in His power. That as we go through life, we're not relying on our own strength, but we're relying on whose? God's. And I believe with all my heart, when we are in His presence, when we are in His will, and when we are working in His power, you know what we're going to be able to do? Rejoice. Rejoice. Isn't it a nice thing to rejoice? Do you like to rejoice? Anybody in here not like to rejoice? Anybody say, I don't want to rejoice. I don't want any part of that. It's a good thing. And that's what God wants us to do. However, there is a hurdle to rejoicing in our lives. Something that often keeps us from rejoicing that's mentioned in the next verse in verse 6. It says, be careful or be anxious for nothing. You ever worry? You ever anxious? How many times have you worried or been anxious this week? How about this month? How about this year so far? How much of this year have you spent worrying and being anxious about something? What does it say? Be anxious for what? Nothing. Can you worry and rejoice at the same time? Can you do that? No. You cannot worry and rejoice at the same time. What really happens is the rejoicing comes after the worrying is done. Isn't that how it works? Isn't it? Think about it. You're watching a game, football game, basketball game, whatever. You're worried whether your team's going to win, right? Isn't that the way it works? So when do you rejoice? In the middle of the game? When your team's down? When do you rejoice? When it's over with. You rejoice after that worry is done and your team, the final buzzer went off and your team just won. Isn't that when you rejoice? Somebody you love's in surgery. Do you rejoice in the middle of it or after the doctor comes out and says everything's okay? You're awaiting test results. Do you rejoice after you get that call and it says everything's okay? The rejoicing worry really comes after that worrying is over. And folks, as believers, that worrying should be over because our trust and faith is in Jesus Christ. And that's why we can rejoice. Anxiety and worry keeps us from rejoicing the way that we should. And folks, I know this is hard. Is it easy to not be anxious about things? Is it easy not to worry? No. That's not a hard question to answer, is it? Is it easy not to worry? How many of you worry? That's natural. But again, the Bible gives us the recipe for it here. It says, be anxious, don't worry about anything. And it's more than just, you know, that phrase was popular a while back in the song, don't worry, be happy. It's not that easy, is it? It's not just telling yourself, oh, don't worry, be happy. The Bible says, don't worry, pray. That is the recipe for it. Be careful for nothing, or don't be anxious about anything. Don't worry about anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. You want to know the recipe for anxiety and the recipe for worry? It is prayer. Period. Isn't that what God's Word is telling us here? I want to read it again. Paul said things twice when he wanted people to understand it. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by what? Prayer. And supplication with what? Thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God. You can tell God what you want, what your request is. Lord, be with me in this surgery. Lord, be with these test results I'm waiting for. Whatever the worry is about, give it to God. Give it to the Lord and say, this is yours. Let your prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And when you do that, look at the very next verse. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, just might possibly, maybe keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. I tell you, you need to follow along. Isn't that what I always tell you? Is that what it says? All right, when I read something or say something that is not what God's Word says, you should say, that's not right. You all understand that, right? Is everybody awake? I tell you to follow along because if I say something that's not in God's Word, you need to let me know that. You need to say that is not what it says. And you know that I was joking in this instance, but it does not say the peace of God just might, if you're fortunate, keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. It says shall. Shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Folks, there is a recipe to worry and anxiety, and it is prayer. Take it to God and leave it with God, and trust that God can take care of it. Does that mean it's going to turn out the way you wanted it to? No. Paul himself, It says he had a thorn in the flesh. He had some kind of physical ailment, some kind of physical problem. They think it was his vision, but we don't know for sure. It says that he prayed three times to God to take it away from him. God, I want you to deal with this. Take it away from me. God, I want you to deal with this. Take it away from me. God, I want you to deal with this. Take it away from me. And what did God say? God basically said, no. But my grace is sufficient for you. Do you think God had a purpose in that in Paul's life? Yeah. God is not always going to give us what we want. But God will always give us what we need. In Bible study the other day, we were talking about this because it says a good father knows how to give his child good things, and so God will give us good things. But a good father doesn't give his child everything he asks for, does he? Does he? One of our children, and I won't name names, but she would have eaten candy for every meal, and she'd have been really happy about it. Do you think we let her eat candy for every meal? No. What do you think we sometimes told her? No. Why did we tell her no? Because we knew it wasn't good for her. You think about little ones. I can pick on Laura as a preschool teacher. Do you always tell your preschool kids yes, whatever they want? Why not? Because a lot of it isn't a good idea. Do you think we ever ask God for things and he looks at us and says, that's just not a good idea? No. But it says, let our request be made known to God. And then trust that what he gives us will be good and what we need. If he says no, it's not because he doesn't love us. It's not because he doesn't care. It's because he knows what's good for us better than we do. Folks, that is the recipe for anxiety and for worry. And as Paul is writing to the church in Philippi, he wants them to understand this so that they can have that rejoicing instead of the worry and anxiety. And God wants us to know this too, because God wants us to be a people that rejoice, doesn't he? That rejoice in him, that praise him, that give him the praise, not to be people that are just caught up in worry. And so this morning, I hope and I pray that that's where our hearts are. That when anxiety comes, that we remember it says, don't be anxious about everything, anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. Folks, there's a recipe. I pray we memorize it. It's a good thing to memorize recipes sometimes, isn't it? God gives us the recipe, the solution to worry. And I pray that we have that in our hearts. Let's bow our heads. Lord God, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the inspiration that you gave Paul to write this letter to the church in Philippi. But Lord, it isn't just to them, it's to us as well. Lord, we face so many trials and struggles as we live our lives here on this earth, and it's so easy to get caught up in worry. To worry about this or that, to worry for our children, for our family, for our grandchildren, to worry about our jobs, our finances, our health, so many things we can worry about. But Lord, you don't call us to be people that worry, you call us to be people that pray. And I pray in our lives, Lord, that you would just help us to have the wisdom just to take things to you in prayer. And once we've given it to you in prayer, just to be confident that you are a Father that loves us and that you will give us what we need. Lord, just help us to rest in that knowledge. And thank you for being a God that loves us. And we ask and pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. This morning as we close, the altar's open. God always wants to hear from us. And if there's something on your heart this morning, maybe you know you worry too much, you don't give it to God. Maybe you give it to God and then take it back. Folks, God wants you to live a life of rejoicing, of praising him. If there's anything he's laying on your heart this morning, talk with him about it. He's a God that's ready to hear. The altar's open as we close. Leaning means we're not trying to stand on our own, doesn't it? Doesn't it? But that we're leaning on him. And I encourage you in your life, don't try to do it on your own. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Let his strength get you through this life, not your own. Let's bow our heads as we pray. Lord God, thank you again for this morning that you've given us. And Lord, I pray that for each one of us as we leave this place, I pray that we would go in your name. I pray that we would go being reminded that your presence goes with us. And Lord, I pray that each and every day as trials and struggles come, that we wouldn't fret, that we wouldn't be anxious, that we wouldn't worry, but that we would simply instead pray and give it to you and then experience the peace that only you can give, the peace that does pass all understanding. Help us to have that in our lives so that then we can rejoice in you and in your name. Lord, again, we just thank you for being the God that you are. And it's in the name of Jesus Christ that we pray. And all God's people said, amen. God bless you and have a wonderful week.